Welcome to Bloom in a Dark Room, a podcast about growing where you're planted, wherever that may be. I'm your host, Dee. Today's episode is important to me because it's something I've experienced myself. I've watched other people take it on, and I want desperately to shed it, and for those that I love to shed it as well. Stay tuned. So, today's episode is all about refusing to be a victim. Kind of a big one, right? I was inspired to do this episode because of one of the books I'm currently reading, and it's called Killing Rage, Ending Racism, and it's by Bell Hooks. The chapter that I'm going to focus on for this episode is called Refusing to be a Victim, Accountability and Responsibility. I love that. Before I get started, let me say, just in case you're not aware, I am a Black woman. However, I do not consider myself a feminist, as Bell Hooks does, the author of the book that I'm speaking of, but I do admire many of her perspectives. Let's talk a little bit about who Bell Hooks is. Bell Hooks. Now, she is an author. She's amazing. She's nothing short of visionary, in my humble opinion. So she was born in the 50s in the rural South, Kentucky, to be exact. Her experiences that she talks about in her books are truly rooted in the segregated South. She was born Gloria Watkins, but uses the pen name Bell Hooks, spelled in all lowercase, by the way. She does this because she believes it removes emphasis from herself and places it where it belongs. And that's on the dialogue in which she speaks about. I also really love that. Her self-proclaimed philosophy is teach, remember, explore, and celebrate. Visit her website for more information about that, but it's pretty cool. She's written over 36 books that vary from children's books. One I just checked out from my local library for my little boy. And it's called Bebop Black Boy, and I love it because it really helps little boys look at themselves, little black boys to be particular, to look at themselves in so many different facets. They can look at themselves as tough boys, which, you know, is typical. The masculinity is important, right? But it also shows them to look at themselves as sensitive beings, as humans, as people, as beautiful, as funny, as smart. And I just really loved everything about that and wanted that for my kids. My boys enjoyed it, but I think they'll enjoy it more when they get older. She's also written a collection of poetry, some personal memoirs, but she spends most of her time writing about topics that include race, gender, and class. She really also enjoys writing about the significance of media in contemporary culture. She was educated at Stanford. She got her master's at the University of Wisconsin and her doctorates at the University of California. So, all in all, if you couldn't tell already, I'm pretty impressed by her. So, let's talk about a few definitions. These are kind of important for the topic we're discussing today. Some of these you may already know. You may be very aware of them. Some of them you may think you know and maybe don't have quite a clear definition of. Most of these definitions I have taken from online, and I will absolutely post my sources. So the first definition I'd like to go over is victimization. Victimization is the action of singling someone out for cruel or unjust treatment. Singling someone out. Okay. There's also feminism. Now, you may feel as though you have a very definite idea of what feminism is, and it may differ from person to person. In fact, it differs from feminist to feminist. I used to identify as a feminist, but the more I've studied it, the more I struggle with the way feminism works. That's another topic for a different episode. Feminism is described as the advocacy of women's rights on the basis of equality of the sexes. That's it. Victim identity. That's the next one. And it's a response to some type of dysfunctional system. It includes, but is not limited to, abusive systems, in which a person is unconsciously assumes the role of victim in every situation because it is safer to do so. Whoa, that one's a big one. Victim identity is a big one, and it is a large majority of what we're going to be discussing today. Disempowering is the last one, and that is making a person or a group feel less powerful or confident. This, to me, is a big no-no. In my line of work, I feel it is my job to empower those around me. And in my life, I feel it's my work to empower those around me. Empowerment starts with self. As I previously mentioned, we are discussing a chapter out of the book Killing Rage, Ending Racism by Bell Hooks. We've discussed a few definitions. We've discussed the biography of Bell Hooks. Now let's get a little deeper into the topic. Now, I do love history. I adore it. It's my life passion. I have a degree in history and I study it almost every day. I do not, however, claim to be an expert on this topic or most historical topics. I am happy to accept any ideas or any corrections, and I will absolutely post all of my sources. So, let's talk about the 60s. The 60s was a really turbulent time in the United States. The 1960s, that is. The civil rights movement gained some major traction, and the feminist movement really took off. People of color started to see change in their circumstances. There were leaders like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Marcus Garvey, one of my personal favorites, and Malcolm X, and even Elijah Muhammad, and so many others that gained major social and political influence in the United States. While there was so much gained thanks to the civil rights movement, so many blacks in the United States were frustrated at the pace of the change. Many blacks took on a more militant approach. They were tired of waiting around. The Black Panther Party was at the forefront. This party was known for arming its members, both physically and intellectually, which is a beautiful thing. They fed blacks in their community. They gave them hope. Historically, when you think about the Black Panther Party, you probably think of afros and berets, the fist, and semi-automatic weapons. But for many, they were just a sign of hope. So it was in this turbulence that the idea of victimhood amongst black people really, really took root. When the black progressive slash militant movement was looked upon as violent, many blacks took on the identity of victimization. We'll get back to that in a minute. Now it's fair to say that historically, blacks have been victims time and time again in the United States. Usually, community is what has kept us going. In particular, the Black church has been a centerpiece in the homes and in the lives of Black people, not just in the South, but everywhere. In her book, Bell discusses the importance of churches for bolstering confidence and hope, the idea that a greater gift is coming for our people, just through the love of Jesus, that regardless of our economic pressures and life's hardships, eventually, one day, we shall overcome. That's frustrating and difficult for a lot of people who were tired of waiting. Remember, by the 1960s, it had been over 100 years since the Emancipation Proclamation, since the end of the Civil War. 100 years, and we were still kept from sharing water fountains with white people. We were kept from sharing restrooms with white people. We were forced to sit in certain places on the bus if we were allowed to sit at all. The frustration was real, y'all. So, let's move on. Let's talk about the argument against victimhood. Why do we even fall into states of victimhood? Ms. Hooks talks about multiple reasons for this, but it really boils down to two. The one that she mentions that I agree with is that the militant resistance to white supremacy frightened white Americans. Point blank, period. It terrified them to see the people that they subjugated for many, 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 many years finally arm themselves with education, information. They decided to finally set up an infrastructure that would allow them to succeed in a situation that wasn't designed for them to succeed. And then on top of that, they're walking around with weapons. They were no longer stepping aside on a sidewalk for white people to pass by. They decided that they could walk on the same sidewalk. So that's number one. I want to take it a step further myself and consider the psychological considerations. Point blank period victimhood feels good, okay? Temporarily, it feels really good, and it's a very superficial way of thinking about it, but it's facts. Anyone who has ever experienced or fallen into, and when I say fallen into victimhood, because for me, that was my experience. I feel like I have time and time again fallen into victimhood. So for those who have fallen into victimhood, it feels good for the moment. And you desire that idea of being righteous. I'm the victim. You did this to me. You make yourself the antagonist. Okay? So there's a problem there. Bell Hooks goes on in her book to state how disempowering accepting victimhood can be. While it might provide a platform of attention that you're looking for, it doesn't actually give you any more traction with your oppressors. So there's something really important in there. Claiming to be a victim does give you this platform to speak. It allows you to tell people, not only your oppressors, but other people who are letting it happen, hey, this is happening to me and it's not okay. It's kind of crappy and I think it should change. Now, here's what I love about Belle, okay? She states the problems and a solution. So, as a marginalized and oppressed group, I think we must look internally, and she agrees with this. We need to find out what's wrong with our community and work diligently to fix it. And boy, do I have some ideas for that. This doesn't leave white folks off of the hook, mind you. They are responsible for making sure that the playing field that they are the ones creating is as level as humanly possible. There should be nothing that stands in the way of a black female president or a black male in an equally important position of power. So at the end of the day, if we continue as a people to engage in victim-like rhetoric, our cause will be diluted. And that's what we don't need. Our cause is righteous. Our cause is important. Our cause matters. And if we continue to say, woe is me, poor me, it's going to be diluted to the point to where no one's going to want to listen to us anymore. Have we become such a society that victimhood is better than just stating boldly the problem and asking for help, and furthermore, giving a solution? And if that solution doesn't work, guess what? There's other solutions. In my humble opinion, everyone has a place in the entire fight. One person's place may be the physical. Another person's place may be to teach. Another person's place could be in just using your talents. Using your talents in the best of your ability to help your community rise up. Because in turn, every community being the best it can be is really a better situation for everyone. Do we have to behave in such a manner that how do I say this? Do we have to behave in such a manner that makes victimization seem a better solution than going out, making changes in your own community and demanding changes for your community? Does that make sense? At the end of the day, it's so important that we use our talents and the best of our ability to make sure that we can do the best for ourselves, our family, and our people. Take a look at your community. Make strides wherever and however you can according to your talents, and never, ever, ever stop speaking on behalf of your people in the fight for equality and justice. Now, this can apply to any community or any group. If you consider yourself a person of color, speak up. If you consider yourself a woman and you've been victimized, speak up. If you consider yourself a man, speak up. If you feel victimized, anybody can feel victimized, but you do not have to assume that any longer. It doesn't help you, and ultimately, it doesn't help your cause. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you've enjoyed today's episode, the best thing you can do is share it with people who think like you or who don't think like you. We can all learn something from each other, right? Also, if you enjoyed listening to me today, please favorite or subscribe to my podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so that you're notified when I post new episodes. Keep blooming, y'all. Thanks for joining me. Ashe.